Go right ahead.
Here we go. Good afternoon and welcome to the Monday, April 20th, 2026, special meeting of the Curry Beach Town Council. The purpose of our meeting is, of this special meeting is to review the draft budget and any other budget-related items for fiscal year 26-27. We do need to add a closed session, so Mayor Pro Tem Hagler.
Yes, sir. I'd make a motion to add a closed session under Agenda Item 7.1 for North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A6 for a personnel matter.
Okay. You have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. One other item before we move forward is number six on our agenda says continued discussion of the boardwalk. We were scheduled to have a meeting this morning at 10 o'clock to discuss that with a contractor, some issues, and he had problems and could not be there. So we're going to attempt to do that this afternoon after this meeting, and then we'll discuss it tonight. So we'll add that to the agenda tonight. Just want to let y'all know that we would not be going over that this afternoon. Okay, Arlen, I guess we're ready for you.
So I thought we'd take a similar approach to what we did in the last meeting, but also what we've done in prior years. So I'm not going to go back through. These were the initial assumptions from the last meeting, how we started the budget process. And this is where we stood when the March 26th meeting started, with a shortage in the general fund and the water and sewer fund, and an overage in the stormwater fund. Everything else was balanced. So what I'd like to do is kind of walk through, we'll start with the general fund, and what I'm doing is just starting with the shortage that we had at the beginning of the last meeting, and what's taken place since then to bring that down to, at this point, a balanced budget. So I'm going to flip one page to start with. First is the reduction in expenses. I'm just going to, with a little bit to put on that first page, so I made a second page. And this just goes through, I'm not going to go through each category, but each department has contributed something. There were some slight reduction in the retirement rate when we got the final percentages, and also the workers' comp insurance. So that kind of flowed through every department. And then other departments contributed some other things where they saw they could reduce expenses to a certain extent. The largest being with streets and sanitation, with the paving, the capital outlay improvements was for paving. When Jimmy got the final quotes, so we were able to reduce that, and that was discussed at the last meeting, so that's reflected here also. There's two things that needed to be increased, well, actually three things. One within streets and sanitation was recycling, because I did hear back from the from waste management, and there will be a rate increase for this next fiscal year. So that's factored in here. And then for tax collection, once we talk about revenue and about the proposed tax increase that was discussed last time, there will be then an increase in tax property tax collection fees. So that's what that $4,000 is there from the Vandenberg County fees. And then there was an adjustment I had to make on our debt service, where my last version I had left out the new loan that was that we got in this current fiscal year. So I needed to add that back in. So the net effect of all that is that $131,658 reduction in expenses from where we started at the last meeting. So the next part of it is the revenue changes, and all of these are things that were pretty much discussed, and I guess with the council direction from the last meeting that is incorporated here. So the first thing is property taxes. That 13.4% increase, that was a 2.3 cent tax increase. And that generates an additional almost $537,000 in revenue. The next, the garbage collection, that increase of 35.3%, that actually covers the cost to actually provide the service. So that makes the garbage collection fees pretty much 100% pay for the cost of the service that the town's providing. Recycling, as I mentioned, on expenses, so this is just the same increase on the revenue side because we passed the cost of, the actual cost of recycling on to the residents, so that's the additional revenue associated with that. I also increased the amount for sales tax refund that we may get based on updated information and additional sale of purchase that were made during the course of the year and estimates and forecasts for the end of the year. So I increased that by $10,000. Actually decreased TDA funds to keep this in line with what the budget is for lifeguard expenses. And then finally, what was discussed, you know, to fully balance the budget was to an appropriation of fund balance, and that came in at right at 1.5% of the budget, which is, when we looked at history, that was basically where we wanted to be. So once we factor in all of that, expense reductions and then the increases to revenue, at this point we have a balanced budget for the general fund.
Okay, I got a question, Arlen, about recycling. The 4.7% increase is just their basic fee increase, and they can still go up every month on us, sir.
They could still go up. And there's also, there was one component that they were still waiting, and that was the facility, whether they were going to have an increase. So they still haven't gotten back to that. I think, I forget, it's the company name is Sunoco, I think, that's used, and they don't have that information yet.
All right, so for everybody's knowledge, they normally tack on a fuel surcharge?
Yeah, and that's all factored in here. I haven't heard anything different, but that's a 10%, they call it environmental fee, and that first started a number of years ago when gas prices went up. That's when they tacked that on, and it's stayed. So it's a 10% of the cost.
And I'm assuming that facility fee, I mean, their facility does run off, a lot of it run off electricity, so I'm sure with electric costs going up and stuff, that will, we're going to have to absorb, I'm assuming that we'll have, they're going to want us to absorb some of those costs, so.
Yeah, I mean, if waste management has an increase, you know, from this Sunoco, yeah, it's going to be passed on to us. It's just at this point in time, they didn't have that information.
So waste management picks it up, but Sunoco processes it? Is that the way it works?
Correct. That's the facility they use, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Arlen, question, like page three, we've got the overshort at the bottom is $1,653,000, and then we go to $953,000.
Well, if you look at the top, what it breaks it down, that $1,006,000 is the total of all the funds.
Everything.
So if you, right now I'm focusing on the general fund, I'll go by fund.
Yep, got it. Thank you.
Hey, Arlen, can I ask you a question? So, for our budgeting purposes, so the recycling now is like $10.08 a can. So are we going to just?
It's going to be $10.55.
So it is going to be $10.55. Okay.
Right.
So all those other costs you're talking about, it's factored into that. Okay. So it'll be $10.55. Okay.
That will be the recycle cost. I think the garbage collection was. I think it came out to. I don't have the number right in front of me, but I think of like $11.60 something. For the first can.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
No, thank you.
There was one thing I just wanted to also mention with the general fund, and that has to do with the request from outside organizations. I guess when we went through this at the last meeting, we had not received anything from the senior center, and Connie had followed up with them, and they emailed in a request.
Good.
And the request was the same as prior years at $5,000. I built that into the budget at this point, but I guess council has to decide, you know, do they want to fund it at $5,000 or some other amount?
Okay. Connie, what was the conversation you had? Did they just not know they had to apply?
It was a new treasurer, and she had no idea, and she had to go back and try to find historical records. So then I guess she found it, and I said, you know, and I told her, so you better look and see who else normally gave you money, because the new treasurer there just had no clue that she should be doing this. So they did request $5,000, right?
Yeah, they never actually filled out the complete application, but they did it through an email. So it was, I think, under the circumstances and at this point in time, that was sufficient.
I mean, I'm okay funding them because we've always funded them, and they do survey a good segment of the population here. So
I agree.
Yeah, okay. No, I agree. Okay. So do you need anything else from Kim Lozito, or we're done? Okay. All right.
Yeah, so that is factored in already, that $5,000. So we're still going with everything, but the general fund is balanced at this point based on all the things we just went over.
Okay.
So does anyone have any question on the general fund?
Was that the same for the Pleasure Island Sea Turtle that they hadn't requested, but you included it?
They're required.
They still haven't sent something, but we're required to do that. So even them sending it in every year is kind of isn't really necessary, I guess. So, that's built into the budget for development and compliance.
Thank you.
Any questions on the general fund?
Yeah, y'all good on the general fund?
Yep.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yep.
So then we'll move on to water and sewer fund. When we started the last meeting, there was a shortage of $859,866. We've gone through with some reductions in the budgeted expenses from that point in time. There's, again, similar to the general fund with changes with workers' comp and retirement, some other miscellaneous things. A major change being the reduction in capital outlay improvements of $500,000, which was agreed to at the last meeting. So also agreed at the last meeting was to increase the water and sewer rates. For both, it would be an increase of 10% to the minimum charge, and then the usage-based rate tiers after the minimum would be increased by 20%. So that shows the additional revenue related to that. Once you factor in expenditure changes, the change increase in revenue, the water and sewer fund is also balanced.
And we'll talk more about the sewer recommendations and changes to that tonight, but we put that in line with that. So Jimmy and I worked with the engineering after review, and that study's been changed, so it's on the agenda for tonight to talk about.
Okay.
Any questions?
Anyone have any questions related to the water and sewer fund? Okay. In the stormwater fund, actually, we're showing a overage at that point, so we made some adjustments to the expenditures, again, similar to the other funds, and then also increased the amount for potential capital projects that may need to be done by $159,940. The net result is that expenditures are increased by $159,545, resulting in a balanced budget.
Just a reminder, we spent a lot out of the stormwater fund last year, so we're kind of like in that rebuilding or
Right. We spent, just about or maybe slightly more than $1 million with working on the stormwater outfalls and a couple other projects. So, yeah, we're definitely in a replenish the fund balance for this at this point in time. So.
Is there an amount that you typically like to have in that account? Or you target?
There's not a certain amount. It depends on the need and timing of projects, actually. We've built it up to about $1 million at other points in time, and then did significant projects, kind of what we just did right now.
Okay. So is the balance pretty much zero now?
Well, it's not zero, but it's probably, I don't even want to guess because I don't have that number, but so I don't know exactly what the fund balance is right now without looking that up, but it's probably still in the $300,000 range at least. So.
Okay. But this isn't really thought up as expenditure. This is really thinking about kind of building that reserve back up. Is that what we're saying? The 159, we're not really planning on really spending that? Hopefully.
No, we will.
Possibly. Again, a lot of times we put for like water and sewer and stormwater, we'll put in an amount for potential projects, because you never know when an emergency something's going to happen. So ideally, we won't spend it. I'm not saying we won't, but that would help to then replenish the fund balance.
Okay.
So we will spend some of it, I'm sure. There will be work to be done.
Unplanned.
As we do inspections.
Yeah.
So Jimmy, through the spring and summer, does inspections, and in the late fall is when we do projects, fall and winter. And the systems continuously find something, right? So we just did all the outfalls. Alan and I, as soon as the state has a budget, we'll be lobbying DOT and the Corps of Engineers to move up from 2030 the underpasses under Dow Road because of the flooding we saw in 2024. That's on our list. The only reason we're not bothering them right now is because they still can't get their budget together. Yeah. As soon as they do, we'll be talking to them about that.
And it doesn't sound like we really have anything earmarked for the 159. This is more just building in.
Not until the inspections in the summer.
Yeah, you may have a pipe, but we have money in case we have unexpected.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah. Good questions. All right.
We have $326,000 in the stormwater fund. Mm-hmm. I'll look at your night report tonight.
Any questions about the stormwater fund?
So if we didn't do anything next year, this would just go on top of that 300.
Correct. Mm-hmm. We have 450. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is what we always try to do, I guess, because again,
that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, we build.
Yeah, and
but we will. I will.
Well, and if we have worse stuff, Jimmy will come to council and ask for a budget amendment, and that's where it'll come from, the $326,000.
That's good.
And if we had more significant needs, then we'd have
into the general fund.
That stormwater fee, which we increased last year, but that would be another. That's the main source of revenue for this fund.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So any other questions on stormwater? So so that we can see that everything is zero. So right now, everything that we've talked about, I put some things in the comment section for each fund, which really just covers what we just covered. At this point, all seven funds that comprise Curie Beach are all balanced at this point. I will say there's probably going to be still fine-tuning after this as more information becomes available, whether it be recycling or sometimes it could be, I think we're still waiting for P&L insurance information to come back. So again, there could be some minor fine-tuning between now and the May council meeting, but pretty much this, we're balanced at this point.
And Arlen, I'm not sure the accuracy of my source, but I did hear that the county was planning on going revenue neutral. Have you heard that?
I saw that in an article, but I don't know for a fact or whatever if they're going to say that or not. So.
Okay.
But it looks like most of the other municipalities are talking of some form of a tax increase.
Right. I mean, at one point, definitely Wrightsville. I don't know if they've scaled back on that now because they were talking about a fairly significant one. I think also Wilmington, fairly significant.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina Beach sounded like they were they had their concerns and a shortage in their funds that they were trying to assess how to deal with that. So any questions on that? So that's just something, and this just shows what the current budget, the proposed budget for next year in relation to the budget for this current year and the increase and decrease by fund. So overall, for all the funds, we have about a little less than 3% increase. It does vary, from fund to fund, as we see. General fund is 9% increase. Stormwater is, almost 56% decrease because of the significant projects we had performed this current year. So anybody have any questions on anything with the budget at this point?
So just in general, check me. So to the average citizen, property tax value about $115 a year, if we do that change, if I did rough math, right, between $115 and $120. Recycling garbage, about $30 to $40 a year. Did I get that right, or I might have messed that up?
That would be about, because it's about a $3.
Yeah, three times 12, 36, right?
Yeah, about, it was, so being that 30.
Yeah, for the say $40, right? And then water and sewer, about $120. And I know that's all over the place based on where you are.
Right.
But if you just take the total increase for water and sewer shed and divide it by 2,000 users, which make it easy math, about $120 a year, right?
Right.
So in total, say under $300 a year to the citizens for all these changes, to the average property owner. Someone's got a higher property value, it's way more. Someone low, but...
Right, and if they utilize certain services to a
greater
extent...
Okay. I just wanted to put it in context of where I think we are, and do you agree, or am I off somewhere?
I agree, that's okay. In that range.
So. I think that's important because...
It is,
when you look at the percentages here, 35% and all that, it conjures up gigantic numbers. I think we have to make sure that for the citizens we put it in perspective.
And it's also remembering, I think I have it in here somewhere, but what I showed last meeting too is, you know, we did look at the garbage collection fees, you know, how we are, we're down at the bottom and, you know, that it's an extremely low cost compared to all the other municipalities around the
city. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, and I think the charts are highly valuable with making that case too, so thank you for doing that.
And David, you're 40 with garbage and recycling?
Yes.
Yeah.
Roughly. The reason I bring that up, one, is so council knows, right? So we don't adopt the budget until June. As you get questions, I think it's important to have a good gross sense of it. Arlen will always, or at least he has historically, I assume he will again, his finance officer message sort of highlights that as well as here's the impact to the average citizen.
Yeah, and right? What I normally do is, you know, like David said, I'll show different ranges. So if somebody uses 2,000 gallons a month,
right,
this is what their cost is going to be for water and sewer, and then I'll show a couple tiers or whatever.
Yeah, and then the same for property values. You property normally in his message. So if you go back and read his messages, I think he does a good job of saying, here's the change to you. But I think for council, it's important to have a gut sense of it as you go out and the word is, okay, we're considering a property tax increase. Okay, what does that really mean, right? So if you have a $500,000 house, 2.3 cents is $115, right? If you have $1 million, it's $230, right? So I think I must have done that math wrong somehow. But, you know, I think because for council, you know, the people listening and the people in the audience, they're going to go tell their friends, and Saturday you're going to get asked at Jack's, what are you guys doing? And I think it's important to have a gross understanding of what you're doing, right?
What I have up on the screen right now shows at different levels of property tax increase, how much it would cost on a home valued at $800,000. So
31.
The green column is about the 2.3 cents increase. So on a home valued at $800,000, that would be an annual increase of $184 for the property tax.
I think it's important we could develop some sound bites too that we're all using consistently for each of these categories. Like recycling and garbage is easy, right? We're just right sizing what it costs. That simple. As far as water and sewer, I mean, is the key takeaway there? We have infrastructure issues that we have to address, right?
We did a 100% audit of the sewer system, and that's what a large portion of the capital is for that. The water report should come in soon. I think we're in better place in the water, although Jimmy would say there's definitely some older lines in the south side of town that we need to work on in the next few years.
Hopefully they'll be presenting that at the May council meeting. Right. That's the plan right now. I mean, but
okay.
Hopefully that stays that way.
And then what's the key message around property tax?
I mean, I think there's a lot, right? So one, inflation is real in the town. Everything's more expensive that we're dealing with, from gas to, we just got hit with a big, the medical thing. I can't remember what it's called exactly.
Yeah, we have, for insurance. We have a surcharge for the health state plan or whatever. That alone was slightly over, will be slightly over $100,000.
Right.
And insurance. On top of that, then there's also an increase in the premiums for the plan. That's just a surcharge to help with the issues that they're having or whatever. And retirement rates keep going up each year. Again, we're mandated, we're part of that system. We're obligated, we have to pay it. So, and then as David said, I mean, materials, supplies, services, everything is going up. Another factor that I think a lot of towns are seeing right now is the fact that a couple years ago, everybody was handed all this money, American Rescue Plan money. Here is, you know, millions, or we got $666,000. So we could do certain things, and we did things that were good, you know, paving projects, some water and sewer things. But now, you know, that money has dried up. So people are, you know, towns are in a, looking at, have to look at things a little differently. There is not that source of revenue anymore.
Right. And parking's kind of gone flat.
Yeah, and our parking has kind of reached, I think it's the level, you know, it's going to reach, that's it. And parking, we're always dependent on the weather. So even though we budgeted, I think, $900,000 of gross revenue, we still have expenses, you know, that need to be deducted. But if we get a couple rainy weekends, we saw what happened a couple of years ago when our revenue, you know, plummeted because of rains almost every weekend. So
that's one of the advantages of getting all our money up front and passes, you know. So I think too, we need to make sure that people understand it. We're not adding employees. We're not adding. This is just to keep our level of service that everybody is expecting at the level it's at.
Okay.
And encourage people to come to the public hearing. I mean, yeah. You know how long we spend here for the public hearing. We're not in here very long because nobody ever comes.
Any questions on any part of the budget or anything related to any of this? But could definitely help clarify.
A great job, Arlen, as always.
Good.
I mean, appreciate the job the department has did. Y'all went back and sharpened your pencils and came back with some reductions. And I'm not real happy about the increase in the garbage fee along with the tax increase, but it's what it is. So,
I think there was one other question that came up during the course of the last meeting. It had to do with credit card fees. So I'm just going to back up to, go to slide 29.
Yeah.
Just kind of highlights a couple things just for some information as a starting point. And I'm going to let Karen's going to go through that. She spent the time putting all this, you know, gathering it all up, so I'm going to let her kind of walk you through what we have here.
Okay. So really simply, just where we got our information, we just went to our municipal online payments, which is where we receive all of our credit card and e-check payments, and just pulled 3 months of transactions and split those into credit card and e-checks, as you see, and just looked at how many transactions we're getting per month and the total amount of our bill payments. And so that's where we came up front with our averages here. So for a credit card transaction, we're averaging about $111.15. That's our average bill paid by credit card per month. And our fee on one of those transactions is about 2.82%. And that's just credit cards. E-checks, average transaction for e-checks is $157.06. That's an average bill. And we're paying approximately 2.03% on one of those e-check transactions. And actually on the e-checks, after I did all my research, I feel like the $3.18 per transaction is a little more accurate. That's a little more per transaction driven than the credit cards. And so we're averaging about 1,161 payments per month are being paid electronically, and that's a little over half of our customers, and about 860 of those are credit cards.
So I think the question that Mark had let you know about, do we try to pass those the cost on, because it has increased significantly, you know, over the last couple of years, and it is a significant expense.
Well, the way I look at it, it's a cost of doing business, Jim. It's a cost the town incurs. It's somebody's got to cover that, and I don't know that the town should supplement it all the time. And one of the things is there is some value to your group for simplicity, right, if they're doing it that way versus walking in and handing a check to them. So there's some value there, too. So it's how do we want to do that.
Right, exactly. And that's why we thought it would be good, you know, to give you this information. Yeah. On the next slide.
Can I ask one question, though? You said half of them pay with that. So half of the community pays their bills through credit cards. The other half is through they send in a check.
Or come in and pay cash.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So over time, we've got to believe that that's going to increase too. People will slowly start to pay more. Mm-hmm. Have you seen increases year? I mean, I can see month over month, they've stayed stable.
I think we're almost getting to the point where it's going to be hard to get, you know, if people wanted to do it, they would be doing it, I guess. We've had this in place now for 3 years when we put in our new system. And it increased up to even a higher percentage than what the company said we would probably get, maybe 30-35%. We're up to over 50% of the accounts paying this way.
Yeah.
So I think in that regard, we maybe hit our limit. Some people just don't want to do it. Some people want to use even if it's free, they want to use their own bank bill pay.
Yeah.
Which people don't realize all that means is that bank sends us a check. So we still have to process that check like it's a manual check or whatever, but because it basically is. It's just not coming directly from the customer, it's coming from the bank. So
how many of those do you get, just for interest?
I'm not even sure. But
it's hard to know.
A fair number, because, you know, and they'll come all at once. We'll get something from, you know, whatever, Truist. So just, you know, and it'll be a stack, like, you know, like that.
Right.
So.
But it looks like you've got roughly 1,200-ish transactions happening collectively between these two. And
yeah.
If you go to your 2,000 number, that would be the...
That's the rest.
The rest.
Right.
So that's pretty inefficient of the bank, though. Why wouldn't they want to set up an ACH with you guys?
Well, and we can probably look towards doing that. The issue becomes how they give us the information. It's one thing to get the ACH. We have to know what it pertains to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there may be some efficiency options there that we will pursue at some point, but that's kind of the way it works now.
Okay.
And just for information, I just put this on, you know, thinking about, like, okay, we have about 2,220 accounts. What we're budgeting for credit card fees for this upcoming year is actually, you know, $50,700. So it's a big expense.
It is.
It's a big number.
So I was just looking at, well, the average credit card fee per account per month would be at $1.90. And then it's like, well, we just increased the minimum charge for water and sewer by 10%. So that was $3.89. So if we wanted to say, how are we covering credit card fees? Well, just for the increase in the monthly water and sewer charge, it would be, you know, about 49% of that would go to cover the credit card fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just of the increase amount, not the whole minimum charge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, my opinion, I guess, if it matters, is that, you know, once we're looking at the other things that we're changing and increasing some rates and fees for other things, this is maybe something for at least the current time period that we kind of leave the way it is. And we'll do, you know, pursue some other things. We also have some questions with the software company about if we were to change the approach and pass the cost on to the customer. Well, one, the percentage goes up because we're getting a special rate for processing utility payments and absorbing the cost. So we're getting a lower percentage. if we pass it on, or if it's passed on to the customer, the charge goes up to 3.75%. So just on, for example, I think Karen had said the average credit card bill was about $111. Well, that would be a fee that the customer would have to pay of $4.17 would be added to their payment. So again, with some of the other things we're changing now, it may not be something that we want to, you know, try to implement at this point in time. And we'll do some further research and investigation. There was also a question we have outstanding of people that are set up on auto pay. If we change our approach, are they going to have to kind of reset up their account? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't clear yet. We don't have that actual answer, whether it would involve some kind of resetting up the accounts or not. So,
do we know if we only passed along part of that, like an administrative fee or something to that effect, would that also affect the rate?
Yes, because unless we're because this special utility rate, and it's not just us, it's kind of a norm, I guess, the way the banks do this. That would kind of eliminate that lower percentage rate.
Okay.
How many people have their bill drafted directly from their account? Is that the e-check or is that something else?
About 681 people a month are doing auto pay. That's a combination of credit cards and e-checks.
So they either charge it to one or the other.
Uh-huh. Well, they set it up as just, you know, like Karen said, you know, auto pay. So and the bulk of them on the 15th of the month, we're going to get about 650 payments,
right,
just on that one day, because most people have selected the option of pay on the due date.
Yep.
Cool. I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but I guess what's disturbing to a degree is the $50,000 in service fees. We're covering that with an increase across the board
for everyone.
Right, and I was trying to simplify it, I guess, with saying, you know, just showing like one way to look at it.
Yeah.
And that's why I put that there. But yes, I mean, that is not everybody's using it, I guess. So.
Yeah. So it's a little disturbing to think of it that way. Wish you hadn't said that. No, I'm kidding.
But it is, you know, it is an expense avoidance kind of opportunity, right, here, right? That's that's the whole business model around doing this.
But it is, in a way, another service we're providing to the, that we're giving this option of a way to pay their bill, because we, not to bash the U.S. Postal Service, but we have all kinds of problems with getting our mail, and it's not just here, it's everywhere where checks get lost all the time. So people that are sending them in via mail, you know, we're running into issues that they, we'll start charging them late fees because it took, 3 weeks, 4 weeks for the check to actually get here. So this way, at least we're kind of guaranteed in a way, an easy way to pay and keep the cash flow, cash coming in, so.
And last time you pointed out that there wasn't a lot of, it wasn't extremely time consuming to process these things, but it was obviously be simpler if it was automated, so.
Oh, this is wait, I mean, yeah, this is just going in, pulling a report from the bank that automatically feeds the our accounting system. So you're talking about a couple minutes.
Versus somebody hands you a check is?
If somebody sends in a check, it has to be input into the accounting system. Then the check also has to, we have a remote check scanner so that we don't have to take checks to the bank. So then the checks have to be run through there also.
Okay.
That scanner can be very temperamental. So it's not always just put them in there, load it, and they go. You know, it takes a lot of tapping on the machine. And then if anything gets rejected, you have to go in and figure out, look at the image online and try to correct the information. So that can be a little bit of a time-consuming process.
Well, I think one of the goals that we had, one of the objectives for the town was to make our processes easier for our staff. And this is definitely something that there's a cost related to it, but it does follow what we've tried to do with technology and other things.
Right. And before we went to this approach with our, when we implemented our new accounting system, we did, we also had the ability for people to pay with by credit card. It was not used extensively because the costs were all passed along to the customer. None of them came to us. They all just directly went to the bank directly, you know, and it just wasn't used extensively at all because people didn't want to pay the fee.
And once we waived that fee, then they became, then they were.
Now we're up to what I think I said, over 1,100 accounts per month.
And that usually is the first question I get if I field one of those calls. Do you have auto pay? Yes. Is there a fee?
Right.
Can I pay you on the phone right now? Is there a fee? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Important to people.
And the other, this wasn't credit card, but also when people sign up for our this payment portal, one of the other options you can do is you can get your bill electronically. So that also helps the town. If I'd like to get my bill electronically and not via the mail, well, we just save the printing costs and the postage, which now postage is, you know, relative, you know, fairly significant when you're looking at that. So just in postage for these bills is about $1,100 to $1,200 a month.
Really?
And that's even getting a discounted rate for doing the mass, you know, billings and everything. So.
Yeah, I agree with Arlen. I don't, in my opinion, I think we should leave things alone for now.
I think so too.
I think there's enough to digest this time
yeah,
and next time.
We have enough increases.
We talk about that. We've allocated it into the budget this year, so it'll be a subject maybe for next time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would propose.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Did we ever think about sending out a letter saying that you we're going to go paperless and you have to opt out if you don't want to be paperless? I've received emails like that. It's like, whoa, if I don't respond, I'm paperless.
I don't think we've ever sent any. We've sent things out about here's our system and here's what you can do with it. And
that's not the law.
Oh, really?
You know, unfortunately, we have a lot of customers that look for their bill. In fact, if they're like a day or two later than because of delays, we start getting phone calls here like, where's my bill? And not just like one or two, we get a bunch.
Okay.
So it's, some places, and I don't think, and what I've been told is a municipality can't do this, but Cape Fear Public Utility Authority did that. If you want a paper bill, there's like a dollar charge.
Ooh.
But I don't think as a municipality, and Jim would probably know better, but what I've been told from other municipalities is that we're not allowed to do that. So I never really pursued that. I'm not sure that we would want to go that direction either, but I think it's better to try to get, you know, highlight the ability to get an e-bill, which not going to get lost in the mail. You're going to get as soon as the file, actually even before the bill date, because as soon as the file is completed and submitted to the printer, the e-bills are available to you. So.
Might be a good topic for we send out the on an annual basis, just a reminder to our citizens that these services are available.
Right.
Well, I also think we can communicate the efficiencies we gain that can have a positive impact on tax and use of our town's money.
So
I think there's ways we can do that.
How many are a lot of the fees that we collect, whether it be compliance and development or Parks and Rec, do those fees come through this portal too?
They come through the portal, but those are different. So the customer pays the fee. And we set the arrangement with utility accounts or whatever. So
okay.
That's where the town is paying. If you go on and pay for a building permit or pay for market, you know, for the Curie Beach market fees or, you know, whatever it may be, anything other than water and sewer payments, the customer
pays that. Okay, good to know. Good to know.
Thanks.
Any questions?
No.
More comments?
Nope.
I have one comment. This was my first budget year in this position, and I was very, when I left the first meeting, I was really proud of what this team did and how we worked together, Arlen, with you involved in coming up with ideas and ways to solve this problem. It was very good to see the town working together to try to do the best they could for the citizens, and I think that's what we've achieved here. I mean, people aren't going to like it. Nobody likes raises, their taxes being raised or increases in any of their fees, but it's just part of, it's a necessity at this point. So I just really wanted to thank everybody. It was good to see us working together on that.
I agree. So finally, we ready to go to finalizing the schedule?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. So you will walk everybody through what our next steps are? Or?
Yeah, so I think back at the council retreat, we actually said a lot of these things also. So we, at the May council meeting of approval, I'll have a couple different documents, one being the budget message, which kind of explains any changes, we'll give a lot of comparative information, just kind of summarize the budget, I guess. It'll also include the draft budget ordinance, and it'll also include the proposed fee schedule for next year. So those three things will be the what presented at the May council meeting. At that point, the budget is made available for public view if they'd like to, whether they want to look at something online, whether they want to come in. We'll have hard copy of things if somebody wanted to come in and look at it. After that, I think it's June 8th, you would set the public hearing for the budget. That'll be at 6 p.m. on June 8th, that any public comment will be received about the proposed budget. And then at the June council meeting will be the final adoption, formal adoption of the fiscal year 27 budget. So that time frame keeps us in line with all the requirements by state statute. So because we do have to have either an approved budget by July 1st, or we would have to then, if we can't come to that consensus, which I think we have, so it's not an issue, we would have to do like an interim budget that would have to be approved by July 1st.
Any questions, comments?
No, sir.
Arlen, we appreciate the job you and your team have done, all the department heads. We take this very serious, and I appreciate the job everybody's done. All right. I guess at this point we're ready to entertain a motion.
Do you want to talk about council's goals?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to mention that. One of the things that's in our budget is our goals and objectives. And recently, Jimmy, Ed, and Connie and I attended a League of Municipalities conference on a long-range strategic plan for our town. And so Ed's going to be taking us through that exercise at a later in the months to come. And we'd like to put a hold on our goals and objectives right now and let those, we'll develop those from our work sessions on that. So coming up soon, I need to get with the chief and try to plan out a schedule, but we're probably going to want to have a work session one day when everybody can give a couple hours to just go through this whole process of our long-range plan for the town. So we didn't feel like it was fair that Connie and Ed and Jimmy and I came up with everything what everybody else is in. But, and we may have some things we want to add or take away. So we'll fine-tune those goals. Right now we'll just leave the goals and objectives as they are. But we'll probably fine-tune those at a later time, if that's agreeable with everybody.
Sure. Works for me.
Okay.
Just to add up, what I'll do is I always reference those goals in the budget message. So I'll reference the existing ones, but also put a couple of sentences about what the plan is going forward with that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I think that's a little bit of a rock I might have thrown in the mix there, but I just would like for us to get to a spot where we're citing measurable goals rather than general goals, and I think that will come out of this meeting after talking with
And if you look at the information when we, when Ed sends the stuff out, and it's a very good process. We were kind of limited to what we could do in 2 days there, but I think with some discussions and everything, we can, I think we can fine tune it and we'll have something really good for the town for the future. So.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Now I entertain a motion for...
To make a motion to go into closed session per North Carolina General Statute 143-318-11A6 for a personnel matter.
I second it.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Go ahead.
Make a motion that we come back into open session.
I second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Mr. Attorney.
Mayor, during the closed session, we discussed the personnel matter. No votes were taken. No actions were taken.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.